what we really wanted to do was to give the attendees what they asked for last year, which was give me more. We covered a lot of things in the last 2 years on a higher level, and we were really getting a sense from our attendees that they wanted us to dig deeper, dive deeper, give them more information that they could use when they're talking to their friends and relatives about why they care about this and why they're interested in clean energy from a conservative perspective. So this year, attendees can look forward to really digging in and getting a lot more information, going beyond the surface and getting into some of the nitty-gritty.
How do you have that debate with folks who don't quite see the same issues here, that this should be market-driven or really there isn't an issue with climate? How do you have that conversation to move the ball?
I think that what we found over the years is that there are so many reasons to engage on clean energy that there's something for everyone. So when we cover clean energy from multiple perspectives, you may disagree with me on, for example, an environmental argument, but you might agree with me for national security reasons. You might agree with me for cost hedging reasons. A lot of people, it's the practical side of it. We look at what's going on across Michigan and across our country. Coal plants are closing. They're being replaced with natural gas at the same time as we're getting ready to begin exporting natural gas on a much greater level. We have to expect that our prices on natural gas are going to levelize with the rest of the world. Do we want to put ourselves in a position where our cost for energy is dependent on what's going on in the Middle East, for example, the instability that we see? Or do we want to have energy resources that we control the cost and we have the ability to control what our energy costs going into the future? I think that for a lot of people, that alone is an argument that gets them to kind of think about it differently and change the way they've always thought about it for years past.
What is the number one issue at this year's summit that you feel needs to be addressed?
I don't know if I can pinpoint it down to one issue. I will add that this year we are bringing something new into the discussion, and we're going to be talking about the changing face of transportation, what the world looks like with fuel cells and electric vehicles. Volvo recently announced that they're going to eventually have their entire fleet be nothing but electric vehicles. Tesla has an ongoing lawsuit in Michigan to try to be able to sell their vehicles there. And then autonomous. What does autonomous do? How does that change the face of transportation as we know it? And so we're adding a new element, going beyond just power generation and talking about generation of power for powering automobiles. And I think that's going to be an exciting new twist for a lot of people.
Will there be business leaders, policymakers to have these discussions with?
All of the above. We're very excited to have Michigan's own General Jack Bergman coming to speak with us at the summit this year. We'll have folks there from Johnson Controls. We'll have folks there from a variety of industry companies that will be speaking about what's going on in the industry. And we will also have some grassroots. We're excited to have Michigan's own Republican National Committee woman, Kathy Burden, and her husband, Dean, talking about what it's like to live off the grid. That's exciting for us to hear from somebody who's done it for 14 years and understanding that you actually can live in Michigan and power your entire home on nothing but solar power. So it'll be a diverse conversation. It'll cover a variety of topics, and I think there'll be a little bit of something for everyone.
How well positioned is Michigan to make a change or to become a leader in clean energy?
Well, I think we have to recognize that our legislators took an important step in that direction last year, passing some comprehensive energy reform, setting Michigan up to have an environment that would be friendly towards that. I think we still have a ways to go, but I think that we have a governor who's been friendly on this issue. We have a legislature who has recognized the need for this. And I think more and more the grassroots in Michigan are recognizing the job opportunities that come with this, the independence, the energy independence. I think you look at what's happened recently with the hurricanes, what's going on in Puerto Rico and how their grid just absolutely crumbled in the hurricanes, what's going on in other parts of the world where they've been hit. And you look at states like Texas, where they had a hurricane come through as well, and their renewable energy infrastructure was largely unaffected. I spoke with a company that operates wind farms in Texas, and I said, how did the wind farms hold up in the in the hurricanes, they said we had very little damage. I think they had one turbine that had some damage to it, and the rest of them were all fine. So recognizing there's a resiliency to having microgrids, not having everything tied into one source of generation. You know, refineries have to go offline when there's flooding and things like that. Your solar, your wind can continue to produce. And I think that as people see that happen around the world in these situations, they're going to realize the value that it brings.
Keith Denhollander, you're the head of the Christian Coalition of Michigan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.